Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for VCU basketball. You can hear every game on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And we are very happy to welcome you inside the office of head coach of VCU men's basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. What's going on, coach?
Everything's good, Adam. I appreciate you being here and having me on and covering us here over the dog days of summer.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. So while we sit here in your office and I look around and I see all this great stuff on your wall, can you explain one thing that means a lot to you that you have in here?
That's a good question. There's a lot. I mean, just being in this office is means a lot to me. But, I don't know. There's some pretty good stuff here. I have some notes from – probably the notes I have from – some people, some of them go way back, just things that I kept over the years that, you know, just some advice, some well wishes, some, you know, there's a note from my wife that, you know, as we were going through tough times, kind of, keep going. So that probably means the most.
I love to hear that. So as we move through the summer and you get to see your brand new roster, I wanted to know which guys in particular have maybe created some chemistry already together.
I think the group as a whole, to be honest with you, I texted them on, I think it was Friday night, that as proud as I am of how hard they've worked already, I'm even prouder and more excited about watching them connect, you know, watching guys that didn't know each other, I guess it would be about, you know, 2 weeks ago, that, you know, now you see them laughing, joking, arguing, putting their arms around each other, you know, going to eat together. To see that quickly, that's what really, for me, that's what I'm looking for over the summer, right?
Yeah.
The 8 weeks, to me, obviously the basketball piece, start to implement like who we are, how we play, how we do things, is important. But I think it fails in comparison to how important it is to build that connection, right?
And create a bond.
You need that. And that's something, you know, that we've spent a lot of time on. The first week they were here, we didn't have workouts, official workouts. We just did, you know, some team stuff. And I'm not a, you know, there's people that like that team building stuff, right? Like the corporate team building, like, okay, we're going to go to the ropes course and it's going to make us a stronger team. I think that's nonsense, you know, being honest, like I don't buy that. Like I've done that. I've never walked out of that feeling like, okay, we're a better team.
Mm-hmm.
You go through what you go through together. You build those bonds, you sit in those apartments, you talk to each other. You kind of have those organic moments, and that's what I think builds it. And we've had a few of those already. You know, we've had a few things that we've done or you know, just through workouts, just watching them together. Those are the organic team-building connection moments, and we've had those, and we're going to have many more, you know, before November 3rd.
We're joined by head coach of VCU men's basketball, Phil Martelli Jr. Yesterday, we had some news, the Atlantic 10 scheduling and the pairing for VCU men's basketball. My first thoughts, no trip to St. Bonaventure and no at St. Joe's. Surprising.
Yeah, the one that I missed, that everybody obviously from Rhode Island, I completely missed that we were going to Rhode Island. I had just assumed because they were there last year that we would not be going back there. So I've already alerted some people here that, you know, I've already have about 175 ticket requests for that game, and those are just the people that are paying close attention. So we'll need some tickets in the Ryan Center. But no, I mean it's to do the conference schedule. Unbalanced conference schedule in this day and age, I think, is really tough. You know, you're trying to balance all the things of like who should play who and who should play where and when, and then you factor in, okay, UMass, right? Because it's easier once you get into a rhythm of it and you say, okay, well, here's the list. Okay, you flip the home teams, you flip the road teams, and you kind of go about your business. Then you lose a team. Now it's going to be five, you know, home away pairs, and then you're going to have the others. You know, who's going to be the home teams? Who's going to be the road teams? It sounds like we'll open at home, you know, which is good, sometime probably like December 30th, December 31st. I don't know if that's official, but it sounds like it is. You know, so really I'm more anxious to see, okay, what does we probably won't get it till September, but what does it look like in terms of the rhythm? And obviously at VCU, the TV people want you. Yeah. Right. So you don't, you know, I'm used to the rhythm of Thursday, Saturdays in the America East, you know, and now it's going to be, okay, you're playing on a Tuesday, then you're playing Friday, then you're not playing till the next Saturday, and then you're playing Tuesday again, and then you're playing Friday again, and then you're playing Tuesday, and then you're, you know, like, and then you're Wednesday. Like, so that's what I'm anxious to see is what that looks like. But it should be a very competitive league. You know, it should be a very competitive year in the A-10. And, you know, I think there's a handful of very good teams that are being built, you know, across the conference.
Yeah, I started to get used to Friday Night Lights. I like it. You know, speaking of the schedule, everybody knows how great of a home atmosphere the Siegel Center is, but also how tough it is. So how do you lure a Power 5 team to the Siegel Center?
Well, it's definitely tough. And I give a lot of respect to New Mexico when they signed that deal. Sometimes you have to do that, right? You have to go on the road. NC State, you know, we'll go there this year so that they come back. You know, it's tough. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the ACC, who is in our geographical footprint, they put out their, you know, okay, they're going, dropping two games. And we called around. And we got one maybe that we're still working on. So, you know, it's kind of tough that way. Like, you're like, all right, you know, because we'll do it wherever. Like, I would love to play, you know, whatever number of games we can play in the Siegel Center, whatever the max we could play is, that's what I'd like to play. Because this place is incredible. The fans deserve it. They deserve to see us night after night after night. The fact is we have to be creative, right? We have to go to an MT in Atlantis. We have to, you know, work on a neutral game with a team like Utah State. We have to do things like that, you know, to have those opportunities. And, you know, outside of, okay, the teams that need money and you're buying those games for them to come play here, it is really hard, you know. And even with it's become more enticing to come play a team like us because for one of those ACC teams, we're going to be we should be a quad one road game for them. So you come to the Siegel Center, yeah, tough game to play, tough team, you know, tough place to play. But it should be enticing because that's what the net and the NCAA is saying. We want to see them. We want to see those games. But we still get a lot of no's when we make those calls. So we're working it. It's not for lack of trying. And I know there's people that are like, well, why don't you play this team? And like, yeah, we've called them.
Right.
We've called them. We've tried. We've told them, look, we'll do whatever. You know, we'll come to you first. You come back here. We'll go neutral. We'll go whatever. You know, we could do 3-year deals, 2-year deals, 4-year deals, whatever it is. But, you know, you need two to tango. And, you know, sometimes it feels like we're the only one on that dance floor.
Joined by Phil Martelli Jr. from VCU men's basketball, the head coach here. So I read something like I think it was only four seniors in the Atlantic 10, in the conference as a whole, have played on the same team for all 4 years, and Christian Furman is one of them. Do you think you'll have someone like that at your time at VCU?
That's amazing to me that there's four, to be honest with you. I can't believe there's that many. You know, starting with Furm, it's a testament to who he is, the loyalty, the character that he has. And it's a testament to VCU and the VCU community that he was embraced in the way that he was, and then he embraced that. And I mean, for him to go through it, I would bet that none of those other four that you mentioned went through three different head coaches.
Right.
Like that is a complete anomaly in this day and age. So credit to him, and we love having him. You know, his energy and enthusiasm for the game, for the school, for the program is unmatched. So, you know, he's been great to work with. I certainly hope so. I think, you know, we're in a – obviously, you keep hearing like we're in a transition period in college basketball, and we are, and that will continue. But I think with the House settlement, with things starting to come along, you're going to start to see a little more stability. I do think I've heard some people and read some things where they're saying like there may be, depending on how things shift here in the next couple years, you know, you'll probably see some more stability, right? It'll be more enticing for people to just stay rather than just go continue to chase, you know, a paycheck or chase a number or chase whatever. So, you know, I do think that will bode well. I think the way we treat guys, you know, this is a transactional world that we live in. Not just the college basketball world, but the world in general, right, is very transactional. College basketball has become extremely transactional. But for us, the relationship piece has been really, really important, you know, day in and day out. And I do think that transformational piece, that relationship piece, has to be at the forefront of everything we do every day. Because of that, you know, and again, it was at a different place, but you know, we've been able to keep guys around that you'd say, okay, well, that guy could leave. Like, he could go to greener pastures. He could go leave because he wasn't playing that much. He could go leave because he's really good and he could go get a big payday. And those guys stayed. And I think it's because of the people we have around, the characters, you know, the level of character that we put in the program from the coaching staff to the players. Guys want to be around that. And you know, with development and the way guys continue to get better, I think they recognize that and they say, like, yeah, why would I leave? You know, like, it's not about the money. It's not about whatever. And watch, like, VCU is a destination type of place. Like, we got guys in this locker room that are coming from high-level places that they say, like, man, this place is awesome. You know, and you're like, okay, you were at School X, and School X has a lot of the same. And they're like, yeah, it's not the same. So, I certainly hope so. I hope we have many of them.
Yeah, I know part of it's out of your control, but I feel like I can speak for the fans when I say, you know, that's what made us fall in love with college basketball mm-hmm. is, you know, seeing Travion Graham go through freshman sure. to senior year and so many stories like that. That's Phil Martelli, Jr., head coach of VCU. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Here with Phil Martelli Jr., I want to get to know you a little bit on the court, what you're like and what we'll see this upcoming season. I'm going to name three categories. You tell me which you think you're strongest in.
Okay.
All right. Out-of-bounds plays, zone defenses, timeout management.
Strongest, I'm going to go – our out-of-bounds numbers were pretty good the last 2 years, so I'm going to go out-of-bounds plays. Even though I don't necessarily feel that way, but I will go by the numbers on that one.
Okay. And the other two, how do you feel about yourself?
Good, yeah. I mean, you know, we've played some zone in the past. I would have said, except we got away from it this past year and played all man-to-man after the year before. We played a lot of zone. Prior to that, we played a ton of zone, and I, you know, as an assistant, I was the defensive coordinator and kind of implemented a lot of that. So, you know, and then timeout management, you know, it's I'll put that third just because the other two I think are pretty good. And with the timeout management thing, what's interesting is you have to learn your group. I'm not necessarily like some coaches go and they meet with their staff and then they go into the huddle. I kind of just like to get in there right away and kind of feel them and get their energy. And you have to learn the group.
So like you mean like some groups can play through not calling timeout?
So yes. And I'm more of like a let's play through a little longer, you know, than stop. I was thinking of the management of the actual timeout. But yes, timeout management, you know, because for me, in a lot of these situations, you know, like the one I don't necessarily get is the timeout. You're going on a run and the timeout after you score to like set your defense with like 6 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need that. But a lot of times I'm like, all right, I just feel like you just kind of killed your momentum. Like that's one of the things you don't see in the professional ranks, right? And the game is different. Like, but you don't see, heck, sometimes they can't even call timeout in those situations. But, you know, you don't see, you're not watching the NBA Finals watching Rick Carlisle call timeout after they just scored, you know, back-to-back baskets. And, you know, like they don't do that. So for me, it's more playing through. Like, okay, a team makes a run, like, if we're playing the right way, like sometimes people just automatically assume like, all right, it's an 8-0 run. You got to call timeout. Well, if we've gotten the right shots and they've made a couple tough shots, like I'll do that early in the game, right? Like first couple minutes, like, yeah, sometimes you go down 8-2 and you're like, oh my God. And it's like, no, like we just had three wide open shots. We missed them. We're going to make those shots, you know, at some point in time, if we keep getting those shots. And on the other end, you're like, all right, they've just made, you know, four contested tough mid-range shots. Like, they're not going to make those shots. And before you know it, usually what happens in those games is the shots you've continued to get, you start making them. They're still taking tough shots. They start missing them. And then that 8-2 becomes, you know, 28-11 real quick. You know, and you're up and you go like, yeah, that's the game. So, and I like having them late. I like having them late, you know, with the situational stuff, I think is important. You know, kind of putting it in the right hands and putting guys in the right place. So I do lean towards, okay, I want to get into those final moments and say, all right, I got two timeouts, right, instead of just burning them, you know, through the second half.
From your experience, learning from your dad, learning from your playing career, what is the best thing for a coach to do in the huddle with the game on the line?
Be organized, be confident, and be clear. I think those things are really important. And I think a lot of those decisions you have to make prior. Like you, somebody should be able to walk in here right now, right, and say, okay, down three seconds to go based on that bounce, what are you going to run? Not, okay, you're at St. Louis, it's a tie game, and now you got to you know, with 1 second left and figure out, okay, what are we going to do? If you're doing that, then you're screwed. You should have it so that you are, you know, for me, like, again, organized with it. I have it here, actually, one of these things at my desk here, I think it's in this pile, has my list of situational stuff, right? And all the different situations that have come up, that could come up, and what we would do if we were in that situation.
So right? It's just plan ahead.
Yeah, like you got to have, and then trust that, right? Like trust that, I mean, there's situational stuff that we dry ran all year that we didn't run one time this year. Like a baseline out of bounds, a sideline out of bounds, or whatever, but, you know, being prepared for that and having them having seen it, right? Because then, again, if you're in that situation and everyone's going crazy and you're trying to draw something up as they're, you know, doing a clock review, you know, and it's like, all right, we're going to have the sideline. Guys aren't – they're not going to be able to really focus as you're trying to zip through on the mark on the whiteboard, like, all right, boom, 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 do the, you go here, Adam, go there, blah, blah, blah. But if you go, okay, here's where we're running, you know, Pistons, right? And here, okay, so now they know that because they've seen it. And then you're drawing it up to just remind, hey, and then here, look for this. The way they're guarding this, this slip's going to be open. We're going to get it. So just having that. And then, to be honest with you, it's a make or miss game from there. You know, you execute it. And, you know, my first game as the head coach, we lost at home to Manhattan. A sideline out of bounds, you know, same deal. We executed perfectly. We missed a shot, you know. And then we executed it just okay against Towson to send it to overtime and hit the shot, you know. And you go like, all right, I'd have taken the first execution every time. We just missed the shot, you know, like just it is what it is.
Joined by head coach Phil Martelli Jr. Tell us about the roles for the coaching staff. How do you decide that? For example, your brother.
Yeah, so it's ironic that you asked me that because I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's been a head coach at the Division III level, now at the Division I level, and just a really smart guy. We just had we were just checking up on each other last night and had a conversation about that because obviously it's a bigger staff and more people and really just trying to pick on, okay, what is everybody's strengths? Where are they weak? Which is okay, right? We all, including myself, have certain weaknesses, but where are guys strong? And then, you know, trying to push those things to the forefront, right? And then kind of decide, all right, there's the list of like, here's the staff, here's their strengths, here's their weaknesses. And then here's the list of all the things that we want to, you know, kind of navigate, right? It can be on the court stuff, off the court stuff, you know, whatever it is. You know, so, and then obviously having knowledge of the university and the area and the community. So, you know, things of that nature, certainly Jimmy, you know, would be relied on a lot. You know, B-Rouse would be relied on a lot. Brad would be relied on a lot with that type of stuff. You know, and then just figuring out, like, again, with the basketball stuff. Like, all right, who's really strong? Who's got a really good eye for offense? Who's got a really good eye? Who's strong with defense? Who's really strong? You know, Chris Cole, who came with me, really good player development. You know, so that's something that he's really focused on. Like, you know, hey, these workouts outside of our team workouts, like, you know, what are guys working on, right? And kind of having a plan for that. Because everything we do with that stuff, with anything, like, we want to be intentional with what we're doing. So it's not just going willy-nilly, like, all right, like, just go down there and see what's up. So just really finding those guys, you know, what they're strong with, what they're passionate about. You know, and then just trying to give them the freedom and the confidence to go, you know, find a way to make an impact on the program. And so far, they've all done it.
Coach, one of the frustrations we've heard from the fan base getting excited for the season is not knowing who the starters are going to be, not knowing the faces, the names. Now that you've had a chance to get a few of the guys, most of the guys, I'd say, under the same roof, can you tell us any standouts, any surprises so far?
I honestly, I don't know if I could pick you know, just a couple guys. I mean, the returning guys have been really good. I'm really pleased with where they are. You know, obviously Brandon Jennings, kind of the beginning of that with being a local guy and the impact he had last year. You know, Michael Bell's been playing well since he's been back, you know, this summer. Firm, we talked about, you know, with his energy. You know, Terrence Hill, I like a lot. You know, just a worker, just a one of those low maintenance, I make sure I make it a point as having been one of those guys, like a low maintenance, tried to be, you know, you have to make sure that those guys know, like, you're not forgotten. Because sometimes the high maintenance guys get all the attention, and you feel like, hey, man, like, I'm doing all the right things, and no one's, you know. But Terrence, I'm a big fan of. The two freshmen, Jordan Tillery, has been a nice surprise. Obviously, we did not recruit him. He was recruited by Ryan Odom and their staff, and still wanted to come. Great kid, worker, just has a high motor. Like, he reminds me of the types of guys that have been successful at VCU and been successful with us. Nick Lewis just got back. He was gone for a couple days. He went out with the USA under-19 team.
Yeah.
Did not make the team, but as one of the coaches out there told me, he said when they got started, he said, man, he goes, this level. He said, I've done this 3 times now. He goes, we've never had talent this high. And he said, he goes, there's going to be NBA guys. Future NBA guys are going to get cut from this team, which is a rarity. So, you know, Nick was out there, and all reports were that, you know, he held his own and played well. So he just got back, you know, he's back in the gym today with us, just got back last night. You know, so those are the two freshmen, and then it's a bunch of transfers, right? Like, you know, Jordan Dumont's, you know, you can see, like, high level shooter. Like, you know, he is, what we saw is what we're getting, like, high level shooter, you know, great kid, you know, has a work ethic to him, the whole deal. Tyrell Ward from LSU, starting to get into shape. You know, obviously a year of not playing kind of slows you up a little bit, but he reminds me of some of the guys we've had that kind of had some layoffs over the years that end up being pretty good players. You know, that just once they got in shape and once they figured out how we go about our business every day, can take off. Our two Bryant guys, Barry Evans and Keyshawn Mitchell, have been good. You know, they obviously know what to expect with the workouts, and I think that's helped. Probably Barry more than Keyshawn. He's just got a little more personality, a little louder, where Keyshawn just goes about his business. But those guys, I think, have helped these other guys kind of understand, hey, this is what we do and how we do it, and this is why we do it. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know what? Like, yeah, I wasn't sure either, but then once I figured it out, like, I had a ton of success. So, you know, that really helps. Ahmad Noel has been very good. He has shot the ball way better than I thought. I mean, I knew he was a better shooter than he showed at UConn. I've seen him make shots in high school and in AAU, but he has really, really shot the ball well in our workouts. And if he's doing that for as strong and as gifted as he is with the ball in his hands, you know, that bodes well. Jadrian Tracy, Bam, you know, just graduated from Oregon, so he was back there this weekend. But he's been great, you know, just an old guy who's been around it, has a great maturity and a great way with his teammates about him. Like, you want those older guys to be guys that can kind of embrace everybody. He's one of those guys, you know, that really embraces everybody. Lazar Djokovic, he is a big, strong dude. And you see it. We play one-on-one every day at the end of every workout, and, like, the guys are playing against him. Like, he's driving at them and, you know, spinning off them and using his body. He is a big, 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 strong dude. And ran into the, you know, the Texas guy, Sean Miller, and his staff last week recruiting, and they said it. They're like, you're going to love him. He said, there'll be days like he's driving you nuts, but you're going to love him most days because he's so big and strong and physical. You know, and knows how to play. So, you know, really pleased with that group. Hopefully I didn't forget anybody. I'm trying to remember.
I think you hit it. I mean, that was a great breakdown. I think my follow-up to that would be, no offense to where all those guys came from, but a lot of them probably haven't seen a facility like the Basketball Development Center, the BDC here at SU. Have you felt like these guys are maybe spending extra time, extra hours here because they're just obsessed with this place?
Yeah, it's for sure of that. Like, for sure of that. Like, you want to be here, right? And it's a credit to VCU. It's a credit to the athletic department. It's credit to Ed and his staff of, like, making this a place that you want to be here. Staff included, right? Like, you know, like, you just are like, you want to walk into this building. It makes you feel good. It just makes you feel energized when you walk in here. And the whole setup, you know, with where the guys live, the proximity, the whole deal. You know, it makes it easy for them to get in. And then having a staff that's so willing to work with them. You know, these guys are incredible, you know. And it really is very much like an NBA setup in a lot of ways, with the way the building is, the setup of the building, the amenities of the building, and then with the staff of, like, having guys that can be on the floor, can help work them through. And it doesn't have to be, okay,
you only have three coaches and you're trying to like do all the things, and then you got guys that want to work out. So, you know, having a knowledgeable staff, a very hardworking staff, has really helped.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. It was great to sit down with you once again. We talked to you when you first got hired, and as we sit here once again, June 18th, what is your message now to the fan base, to Ram Nation, these last few months?
Stay excited. Stay excited for what's to come. You know, we're not shying from anything. You know, we're not shying from expectations. We're not shying from, you know, any of that, right? And I hope that the fans feel the same way. You know, be excited about it. And, you know, we are working hard and, you know, hoping to give them some opportunities to see us before, you know, before November 3rd and get out there, whether it's exhibition games or open practices and things like that. There's all stuff we are working on. You know, it just takes a little bit of time to do all the logistics and everything that have to come with that. But, you know, I do want everybody, as I said, you know, back in it was March 28th maybe, you know, like this is your team. This is your program. We are here taking care of it right now. But the former players, the alumni, the donors, the season ticket holders, the community of Richmond, this is your team. And I feel that more and more each day. Every place I go, you know, and talking to people and meeting people, and I hope that they feel that. I hope that they feel like this is your program, this is your team. And yeah, the names may change. The there may be more turnover than people probably like. I get that. It's where we are in college basketball. But at the end of the day, the one thing that doesn't change is that black and gold and that VCU on that uniform. And we have a lot of people that are proud to be part of that right now. And I hope that they will, all those people out there listening, will come and support that, you know, and understand that, hey, you know, the names can change, the faces can change, but VCU winning will never change.
That's Phil Martelli, Jr., head coach of VCU. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Commanders, and we told you guys that the producer of VCU men's basketball, Rob Hoffman, stopped by the show today. We've got Stubb running the ones and twos, our intern Biff here for the summer, who is a diehard Commanders fan. But Rob, fantasy football, number one for Jaden Daniels. Any argument from you there?
Given what he was saying, no. In a dynasty league where you plan to keep guys long-term, it makes no sense not to go in that direction if you can do it. You've got a kid who's obviously got 4 years on his rookie contract, and he's really shown in 1 year he's going to be something special.
Yeah.
In a dynasty league, it makes perfect sense. In a year-to-year league, you wait out. You sit a year or two on him. You get the older guys. But if you're looking for somebody who you think your fantasy league's going to run that many years and you're going to be around to do it, grab him.
Yeah.
He's short-term value, good. Long-term value, great.
I wonder how good he would be in a normal fantasy league this year. Because Stubb pretty much won our league with Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, Stubb, Jaden Daniels was one of the best quarterbacks all season long.
And so many points from Austin Seibert, too. But Jaden Daniels really got me to the finish line.
Yeah, I think the stat was he finished with double digits in 15 of the 17 right. games this
yeah.
year. And, oh,
great.
Yeah, he didn't play three quarters against the Panthers.
Makes sense.
Which is just incredible. Biff, I want to ask you, because I personally got goosebumps hearing a national reporter say that my favorite team's quarterback was the number one in fantasy.
Yeah,
did you feel the same way? I mean, you're young.
It doesn't feel real at all, especially because it was funny. So my friends are Eagles fans, and when we beat them, they're like, oh, you beat up a backup quarterback. Congratulations. And I look at every quarterback that we've had my entire life besides RG3, and I'm like, dude, we haven't had a real starting quarterback in so long. So finally to see a guy say, oh, yeah, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and we're going to put your quarterback at number one, I'm like, oh, my God, this is like, I'm pinching me. This is not real.
Yeah. And I know you probably love Robert Griffin III, but he was never even that good. I mean, that's incredible right there. What Jaden has done. Believe me, I fell in love with RG3. He was our Jesus for 1 year. But I do feel like with Jaden Daniels, there's more staying power. So, Rob, I promised you I wanted to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
So, Stubb, let's do an impromptu dude food right now here on AWOD Radio.
Dude! Food!
We're not responsible for the content of this program or anything we say when we're really hungry.
Where's my food?
Dude, where's my
food?
The most delicious food you've ever
tasted. Yes!
I can eat this off a flip-flop!
Who loves food?
Dude! Food!
So a few weeks ago, I watched the new Vince Vaughn movie, Known Us. Have you heard about it at all? It's on Netflix.
Not really.
Okay, so he hires a grandmother to open a restaurant, and she's the main chef, and she's cooking authentic Italian meals. And since the movie has been released on Netflix, it's taken off. It's a true story. The restaurant in Staten Island, you can't get a spot there for 2 years because it's been so popular since that movie. And so since the movie aired, I'd been telling Stubb how much I've been getting into cooking, and I asked my mom for my grandma's recipes. Couldn't get anything there. But this past weekend, my girlfriend's sister got married, and her Nona came to stay with us. And I've been living with a Nona all week long, and all week she's cooked for us. And she made yesterday chicken cutlets with mozzarella and tomato, and it was just the best thing I've ever had. The night before, she made her famous Sunday gravy with rigatoni. And then she made hibachi one night. I don't know if that's Italian. It's definitely not, but it was terrific. But it's just like, it's been incredible living with a Nona. And I think the funniest part to me is we were trying to get some recipes from her, but she doesn't have anything written down. So we filmed her, and it's just, a pinch of this, a pinch of that. There's no actual numbers. It's just all memorized in the back of her mind. And so it's been wild living with a real Nona this week.
Well, there's the worry now you're spoiled.
Yeah.
You probably can't let her go now. You kind of have to, like, hey, Nona, how many more months did you want to hang around?
Right. The chicken cutlets were just the best I've ever had.
And the other part is, when she does leave, that's pressure on you now. Because you've been trying to cook, and you've gotten some lessons now. Your girlfriend's going to be on you about let's pick the game up a little bit here, son. So be careful about that.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it while you got it, but the pressure's on you now.
Yeah, and the thing I didn't realize is how much love, time, and effort you have to put into it. The Sunday gravy was all day Sunday. She probably started 11 a.m. and it was ready by 6 p.m.
My mom, who's 81 years old, still cooks for me every year when I go back home for Christmas. It used to be she had her mother-in-law's sauerbraten recipe, but the last couple of years our group size has shrunk down. But she would literally spend 2 to 3 days with the meat, the gravy, the dumplings. When someone is that devoted of a cook, yeah, get what you can get.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. I've watched my mom and I realize I'm never going to be that kind of cook.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of it is she's been treating me special. Like, Adam, make sure you go back for seconds. You know, make sure you want another chicken cutlet with mozzarella. It's like she's treating me like I'm a young growing boy, like overfeeding me, which has been my favorite part this week.
I believe that's just how it works. Nona will treat everyone like a growing child. And have seconds. My mom still does that. Have seconds. Have thirds. You know, it's part of the DNA of that type of person.
Yeah, no, so it's been a ton of fun. But Stubb, I'm telling you, the chicken cutlets. I might have to tell her to cook up another batch so I can bring it into the office before she leaves. I've never had something that good. And I was ranting about the Sunday gravy rigatoni being the best thing I've ever had. The chicken cutlets is like she took it up a notch. And it was so simple to her the way she made it. And I just love the accent, too. A little mozzarella, a little tomato. I put olive oil on it. It was simple, but it was authentic, and it was just fantastic.
Sounds like you're having a good time.
I really am. Yeah, but you're right. I don't want her to leave now.
Right.
You know, I got to trap her in that kitchen. We got an extra bedroom. You know,
you're all set. Make it work.
Yeah. But that was my story. It's been wild to live with a real-life Nona from, straight from Italy, from the southern part of Italy.
Well, my mom's not that, but she's definitely got a lot of that in her. But I've met a few over the years, and, someone like the Italian grandmother is kind of a meme for a reason. That's who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't seen Nona on Netflix, check it out so you understand what I'm talking about here. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Rob, thanks so much for stopping by. It was good to see you.
Pleasure. And if, in programming note, to steal a phrase from Michael Phillips, you will hear me Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, pregame and postgame for the Squirrels. I'll be helping out because Blaine's on assignment for the weekend.
I love to hear that. And You might know this. When does the second half of the season start? Because I can't wait for the record to say 0-0 again.
I have good news for you. We're just about there. Tuesday night, Reading versus Richmond at the Diamond is game one of the second half.
There we go. And maybe we'll have a playoff push, or at least a sweat. Right? I mean,
this team has just been playing in bad luck. Honestly, they're not a 15-win team. They're a 25-30-win team. And with a little luck in the second half, maybe they get to 35, which is playoff, which is playoff contention on the edges.
Yeah, it feels like they've been walked off a ton this season.
They have. It's been crazy.
Yep. That's Rob Hoffman. You can hear him on the Flying Squirrels broadcast and also helping out with all things VCU basketball. Phil Martelli Jr., so nice, I'm going to play it twice. That conversation coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28. In-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Going out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline right now to talk a little NBA with our buddy Justin Fensterman from SiriusXM. What's going on, Fensty?
AWOD, great being with you again. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I almost didn't want to book you if you were going to take a victory lap around me, because I did have to burn, unfortunately, my Pacers in six ticket the other night. I had to burn it. It has been destroyed. I am a little distraught because, in my mind, this series flipped the final 5 minutes of Game 4. I find it hard to believe the Pacers can flip the momentum back around. I know they're coming back home, and that crowd should be wild. I'm worried that Oklahoma City might win this thing on Thursday by, like, 20 points.
Yeah, look, you can't doubt the Pacers' offense. They have been great, but the Thunder just showed, as you and I have talked about a bunch, why they are the better team, why they have more depth. The Pacers have matched up very well. They stole Game 1 and then really came to play in Game 3. But like you just referenced, Game 4, you saw the Thunder do to the Pacers what the Pacers had done so many times before, and now you're seeing them in Game 5 have more control of that game and that atmosphere. And on top of all of that, we don't even know, although I think he's going to, Tyrese Halliburton could have a strained calf and he might not play. I think he's going to play. He's just one of those guys. He's like what Isaiah Thomas was back in the 80s when he sprained his ankle badly in the finals. He'll keep limping and playing, so I think he will, but he's clearly nowhere close to 100%.
How have you felt like Chet Holmgren has grown in this series? I mean, I talked about it at length. I thought game one, he was just overmatched, overpowered by Miles Turner. Since then, he's been productive, and I think he's had much better first quarters, which has kind of set the tone for the Thunder.
I said it on your show a bunch. I said it on my own shows on SiriusXM a bunch as well, that the X-Factor matchup of this series was Siakam versus Chet Holmgren, and it helped the Thunder that Indiana really didn't see Holmgren before this playoff series, and that's huge, and that gives them not only the size advantage, but how are you going to guard this guy? Luckily for Indiana, he was cold in game one, but he's been great, and the best part about him is, Awad, he's not really doing it from the arc. He's not hanging at the arc. The Thunder have realized that they're just not hitting their threes consistently, so they've abandoned the arc and they've allowed Holmgren to play more inside. And his aggressiveness on the glass has also been just as impressive, 10-plus rebounds in each of his last three games in this series.
So what is it going to take for Indiana to force the decisive Game 7? Game 7, the best two words in sports. I'm desperate for us to get it in the NBA Finals because we did not get it in the NHL with Florida winning it last night. What's it going to take for the Pacers to win Game 6?
55% shooting from the field should do it. That's as long as Oklahoma City isn't matching them. I know, but look, this Pacers team is a 50% shooting team. We've seen them be able to go off. Oklahoma City has made it very difficult for them, but we have seen guys like Pascal Siakam continue to score. But they can't start slow in this game tomorrow night. They can't start slow. They can't go down by 15 instantly. But more importantly, they got to be shooting 53% to 55%, and all things considered right now with Tyrese Haliburton, because Haliburton doesn't need to score a million points in order for Indiana to win, but the way he helps move the ball around and draw in defenders, that's what the Pacers would be missing. So let's say with or without him, thinking that he's not at 100% right now, they need to be shooting 55% in order to win this game.
Yeah, no, good point, Fenty. I think my take is I'm going to call out all of Indiana. Anybody that claims that they are a Hoosier, a diehard basketball fan, the crowd is going to need to be more than electric for the Pacers to win this game. Haliburton's not going to be at 100%. Nembhard has taken a step back. The Thunder's defense has been swarming. The Pacers' fan base is going to have an impact in this game. And I don't know if that's, you know, the loud noise at the free throw line for the Thunder, maybe just getting the bench unit energized and fired up. But they're going to need that home court advantage, because I think we've seen it now. The Thunder are just a better team, and their star power has shined brighter. The only X factor the Pacers could have here is maybe that crowd noise gets them fired up, and we could maybe see Mathurin go off for 20-plus points.
Awad, stick with me on this, man, because I feel like you and I will actually agree on this. Here's what they do. They give Pat McAfee and they give Reggie Miller a live microphone for the entire game to say whatever the hell that they want, which they pretty much have done anyway whenever they've been given a microphone or a headset throughout the playoffs. So just give them a live mic and have them be the distraction throughout the game from the free throw line. What do you think? I
love it. You know, Pat McAfee, great call right there. Reggie Miller. How about Peyton Manning? How about Pierre Garçon, Marvin Harrison? Anybody that's ever been an athletic person in Indiana should come out to support the Pacers. Look, this is their opportunity. This is their opportunity this season. Because believe me, Pacers fans, the Celtics are going to be back. The Knicks are going to be back. Whoever gets Giannis is going to be back. And then, if you even get past the East, you're going to have to deal with a very difficult Western Conference champion in the foreseeable future, because the West is always just loaded with talent. So this is the Pacers' opportunity. I'm going to be pissed off if they don't force a Game 7, Fenty.
Well, I just want more basketball selfishly, so I would love that. I'm in lockstep with you, but yeah, kind of like you're thinking as well, which we're, I don't know if it's a good thing, Awad. We haven't been this much on the same page since like the George Bush administration, but with us being on the same page for this tonight, I mean, look, we both are thinking Oklahoma City is taking this, or for tonight, for tomorrow night, Oklahoma City's going to be taking this, but look, we both want more basketball. I've loved this series, and I wish it could be extended as far as possible. I was counting on it for the Stanley Cup series. Did not happen. We needed an NBA.
That's Justin Fensterman. Check him out, Fensty Sports, and a host on SiriusXM. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan, broadcasting live from River City Roll and Scott's Edition. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from our sister stations in Washington, D.C., 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. You can hear him any day during the week. It doesn't matter the time. He finds a time slot to get on air. It's our buddy Denton Day. What's going on, Denton?
Hey, AWOD, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great here, and we've been having some fun with an interview that Al Galdi did, and I thought it was terrific. He had Dave Kluge on the show, who named Jaden Daniels the number one quarterback in Fantasy Dynasty Leagues. Let's listen to Dave Kluge break down why Jaden is number one.
Kind of funny, when I came out with that article, it wasn't that long ago that I released that article, and at the time, I was on an island with that take of Jaden Daniels being number one overall. We use a crowdsource website for dynasty rankings that I really like, Keep Trade Cut, and since that article came out, now Jaden Daniels is actually the consensus number one overall pick in Dynasty, so it seems like everybody is starting to get there.
So, Denton, I mean, first off, I'm getting goosebumps hearing someone nationally say that my team's favorite, you know, my favorite team's quarterback is number one in anything. But it's hard to disagree with him after the rookie season that Jaden had. What do you think?
No, I'm right there with him. I think based on what he did his rookie season, it's fair to think that he's only going to ascend. I've seen many people nationally question, well, what about a sophomore slump? I think some of the things that he did in his rookie year lend itself to continuing to do those things very well. Like some of his accuracy, I don't think he's all of a sudden just not going to become accurate, right? His running ability, I don't think he's just not going to run. He didn't put himself in a position to take a lot of big hits last year. It's one of the things we were worried about, and then through the course of the season, he didn't do it. So I think all the things that he did last year, they don't necessarily lend themselves to being what I would characterize as a sophomore slump. He reads defenses really well. So when you have a guy that does all those things and does it at such a high level his rookie year, and you're thinking he's only going to get better as the years progress, it's very, very scary sometimes to think about just how good he could end up being.
Yeah, the only thing that I get worried about is if he maybe set the bar too high with him nearly being perfect. It felt like, I mean, you know, two games in a row, they didn't even punt. They end up winning 12 games. Can that happen again? Two playoff games, the incredible completion percentage. So I think he can take a step forward. I'm a little worried because he set the bar so high. But Denton, I think my biggest offseason take has been Adam Peters can wash his hands and feel like he's done his job. I think he hit a home run in the offseason there. He hit a Hail Mary with the Tunsil trade and the Debo trade and the work they did in the NFL draft. And so it's like, I think Adam Peters did his job. Now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury to make sure that Jaden does develop.
Yeah, it's Cliff's job, and I'm glad that they kept Cliff. I'm glad that they kept Tevita Pritchard. I'm glad that they kept David Blau, all the coaches that were getting legitimate interest from other teams, bringing them all back and getting a second consecutive year with everybody around for your prized possession in Jaden Daniels is massive. Because how often, I mean, if you look at a guy, Adam, like Baker Mayfield, Baker's been a really good quarterback in this league for a long time. If he's played eight seasons, he's entering offensive coordinator number seven this year. Like, he's in a constant position and pattern of switching guys and learning new parts of offenses. Now, it's not drastic changes, but learning new terminology and ins and outs of the offense. So the fact that Jaden gets to go from year number one, where he dominated, to year number two with all of the same pieces in place on the coaching staff is a very nice luxury that a lot of rookie quarterbacks don't have. So Cliff is going to have a lot of pressure on him, which is fine. You want to have pressure. We want to have pressure as a fan base on our team. That means good things are hopefully coming from that. But yeah, the pressure is on Cliff. If he wants to be a head coach again, then eventually we're going to lose him. We know that. But if he wants to be a head coach again, he needs to go out there and have another great year with Jaden.
We've got Denton Day with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. So I totally agreed with Al Galdi's guest, Dave Kluge, about Jaden being the number one fantasy dynasty quarterback. But then he went on to talk about Zach Ertz. And first, my ears perked up because I'm of the belief Zach Ertz is going to take a step back this year. He found the fountain of youth. He was playing with a chip on his shoulder. He played his best games against Philadelphia. Are we going to get the same Zach Ertz this year at 34 years old? But then he went into this rant about how Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, some of these older tight ends that had a lot of success, they like peaked. And then for 8 or 9 years after their peak, they were still able to get the touchdowns because of how they mastered the position and being good in the red zone. And so, like, Tony Gonzalez, for example, like, you'd say he peaked when he had his 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns in 2004. But for 9 years after that, he averaged 7 touchdowns a year. And then you look at Antonio Gates. He peaked in 2011. And didn't make another Pro Bowl after that, but he still averaged 5.5 touchdowns a game. And the real kicker for me was when he mentioned, and this blew my mind, I should have known this, Denton, but Zach Ertz is younger than Travis Kelce by a full year.
Yeah, he is. So I'm in the same boat as you when it comes to Zach Ertz, in that 2024 was great. It was awesome, and he overperformed expectations. But I have set my expectations for him in 2025 still on the lower end, knowing that he's getting a little bit older, but also because I really want to see Ben Sinnott. So it's not so much a characterization of what I think Ertz is, or maybe what he fails to be as a player, but I want to see the guy that they drafted last year in Ben Sinnott ascend to kind of what we thought he would at the end of last year. Just so happened that Zach Ertz happened to be really good for the entirety of the year. Like at the beginning of the year, this time last year, I would have told you that I think Ben Sinnott is going to be tight end number one by the end of it, because Zach Ertz is going to be old and they're going to want to go in another direction. I didn't think they'd be in a position where they're going to have 11 wins and then compete for an NFC championship game. At that point, you're not like, all right, let's get the rookies in play. You're like, no, we're going to keep it with Zach Ertz. But I do think Ben Sinnott is going to, I think he is going to elevate his play. So he is going to maybe by force take some reps away from Zach Ertz, which I think is good. I think Ertz is a really good mentor. But then, as you mentioned, Adam, because he's mastered the position and because he and Jaden have chemistry, if he's not in on like a first and 10 from the 20, that's totally fine with me. But if he's in the first and 2 from a goal line position and he scores a touchdown, I'm with that as well, because he's so good at running the routes. So I think numbers-wise, he might still put up some touchdowns, but I think yardage-wise, you'll see a significant rise in production from Ben Sinnott.
Can Brian Robinson Jr. be an 1,000-yard all-purpose Washington Commander this season?
All-purpose, yes. Can he do it solely on the ground? For his sake, I sure hope so, because he needs it. If he doesn't rush for 1,000 yards this year, he's not going to be here next year. Yeah, I was at a mini camp for one of the days, and I just got to, I was just looking. No one has pads on, so you don't really know what guys are going to look like once you're actually getting physical with pads on. But just from an eye test perspective, the guy they drafted in the 7th round, Ja'Cory Crooksey-Merritt, looks the part. Now, he's a 7th round pick. I don't think a 7th round pick is going to immediately come and take the job of RB1, but there are other guys in this organization that look similar to Brian Robinson when it comes to just passing the eye test. You need to see him be better when it comes to finding the hole and hitting the hole with speed. It's something that he didn't do a great job of last year. Maybe that was more on the offensive line than it was on him, but we need to see him do better at that. The idea of playing next to Jaden Daniels, that should make his job and the numbers that he puts up, it should make his job easier. It should make those numbers a lot larger. I was really disappointed towards the end of the year when it felt like he hit a slump at the worst possible time.
Denton, really appreciate you joining the show today, man. Great stuff.
A-Wad, appreciate it as always, man. Be well.
You're listening to A-Wad Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.